إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. Alhamdulillah, today is our 6th or 7th day of fasting, depending on whether or not someone started fasting on Saturday or Sunday. And we are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has blessed us to be present for this month of Ramadan and to have the ability to benefit from the many blessings, gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given in this special season. Tonight, the topic that we want to discuss is related to the season, yani related to the month of Ramadan. Normally, at this time, our topic is the explanation of hadith dealing with character and manners from Bulughul Maram. But because of the occasion of Ramadan, we felt that it is important that we address some issues related to Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, and the fast of Ramadan, and the importance of this affair. I chose tonight to read from the book of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, which is entitled Majalis Shahr Ramadan. This book is a book in which they are compiled a number of lectures that the Shaykh rahimahullah gave during the month of Ramadan in the Haram in Mecca, where he used to go every year during the month of Ramadan. He used to leave Qasim and he used to go to Mecca, and he used to stay in the Masjid in Mecca for the month of Ramadan, and he used to teach the people every night. And from amongst the lectures that he had given during those times over the years are these lectures that are compiled in this book called Majalis Shahr Ramadan. And alhamdulillah, yani the Shaykh rahimahullah, like the scholars of the past, have much to offer on any topic that he would talk about. And this topic is the second majlis, al-majlis al-thani, in the book, the second topic that they compiled in that book. And it is entitled Fadl al-Siyam, yani the excellence, the superiority, or the virtue of fasting. Now perhaps all of us know something. Even probably someone who's fasting for the first time, their first Ramadan, they probably read something and they know some hadith, or they heard at least the general meaning of some hadith, or something from the Quran, from Surah Al-Baqarah, what Allah said about the fast of Ramadan. So everybody knows something about this. And it is possible that everything that we will mention tonight, every virtue of the fast of Ramadan, maybe you already know it. It's possible. It's not impossible. It's likely that some of us, we know all of this. So this is intended first and foremost as a reminder, that we be reminded of some things that we already know. And in case you didn't know it, then inshallah it will be something extra that you will learn. But the most important thing, whether you already know it or you're hearing it for the first time, the most important thing is that we try to retain what we hear and then act upon it. That's the most important thing. Alhamdulillah, we have the chance now. This is the month of Ramadan. So we're not talking about theory. We're talking about real life. Real life. Right now. In real time. This is the month of Ramadan. And we want to discuss some of the virtues of the fast of the month of Ramadan with the intention that it will highlight and it will encourage and it will motivate us to take the fast of Ramadan more serious. Many of us are fasting as routine. Every year Ramadan comes, we know we have to fast. We get in the mood for fasting or in the mode of fasting and we fast and the month is over. It comes and goes and that's the end of it. And that is a tremendous musibah. That Ramadan comes and goes and all we did was abstain from eating and drinking. Rather, sometimes in Ramadan, we do more eating and drinking than we do outside of Ramadan. That's a fact. Some people boast about their grocery bills in Ramadan, how much they spent. When on the contrary, we should be pleased to say that my budget has been reduced in Ramadan. Normally I spend $400 a month. In Ramadan, I only spend $100. No, because why are we spending money on food and drink if we are fasting all day? And we're eating a little bit when we break our fast. And maybe a little bit more for suhoor. And that's it. In any case, it is my hope and my desire, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we reflect upon what the Shaykh has mentioned here, and we take it as a means to motivate us to take this fast of Ramadan more serious, to realize that this is an excellent opportunity for us to earn the reward of Allah, to get near to our Lord, and to prepare ourselves for the inevitable death. And there's no guarantee that we will see another Ramadan. Rather, we are not guaranteed that we will see another day of Ramadan. So we should take hold of it. Understand the value of this fast of Ramadan and be serious about it. Exert ourselves and try to excel in doing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated during this month of Ramadan, during the daytime of fasting and during the nighttime when we're not fasting. In all kinds of worship, whether it's prayer in the night, whether it's reading of Qur'an, whether it's dhikr or dua, or istighfar, or giving charity, or doing any kind of good. كُلُّ مَعْرُوفٍ صَدَقَةٍ. Try to do good. Try to excel in doing good. May Allah grant us success in doing better, and that this, inshallah, that these words will be a motivation for us. بِإِذْنِهِ تَعَالَى. The Shaykh, he begins with a lengthy introduction. And we will go word by word as the Shaykh has mentioned it. We're not going to leave out anything, inshaAllah. He begins by saying, Alhamdulillah, Al-Latif, Al-Rauf, Al-Mannan, Al-Ghani, Al-Qawi, Al-Sultan, Al-Halim, Al-Kareem, Al-Rahim, Al-Rahman. And let me stop here to translate a little bit of it as best I can. That all of the praise, every praise, all praise belongs to Allah, who is the kind, He is kind, gentle, Ar-Ra'uf, the compassionate, Al-Manan, the one who gives freely, Al-Ghani, the one who is rich, without need, He doesn't have need of anything or anyone, Al-Qawi, Al-Sultan, the one who is strong, mighty, whose authority is over everything in the heavens and the earth. He is forbearing, Al-Halim, Kareem, generous, Rahim, merciful, Rahman, compassionate, beneficent. Al-awwali fala shay'a qablahu. He is the first. And therefore there is nothing before him. Yani there is nothing before Allah. He is al-awwal, the first. Not in numbers, but in time, before anything existed. Al-akhir fala shay'a ba'dahu. And he is the last, and there is nothing after him. الظاهر فلا شيء فوقه والباطن فلا شيء دونه. And he is الظاهر, the most high, and there is nothing above him. And he is الباطن, يعني the one who is most near, and there is nothing nearer than him, nearer to you. He is nearer to you, as Allah said in the Quran, than your jugular vein. Al-muhit, ilman bima yakunu wa ma kana. He is the one who encompasses everything by his knowledge. His knowledge encompasses everything that was or is and everything that was. Yani everything that exists, that is happening, and everything that passed. يُعِزُّ وَيُذِلُّ وَيُفْقِرُ وَيُغْنِي وَيَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاء بِحِكْمَتِهِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَعْنِ. That he is the one who grants honor. Yani, who gives izzah to whoever he wills. And he is the one who humiliates whoever he wills. And he is the one who makes people to be poor, or who makes the people to be rich. And he is the one who does whatever he wills. بِحِكْمَتِهِ. Yani whatever he wills, he does according to his wisdom. Doesn't involve any injustice. Rather, whatever he wills is just. He does whatever he wills, but based upon hikmah. Not just because he has the power to do whatever he wills, so he abuses or wrongs anyone. Rather, he does whatever he wills. But whatever he wills is based upon hikmah. And he is every day. He is involved. And he is taking care of his creation. أَرْسَى الْعَرْضَ بِالْجِبَالِ فِي نَوَاحِيهَا. أَرْسَى الْأَرْضَ بِالْجِبَالِ فِي نَوَاحِيهَا وَأَرْسَلَ السَّحَابَ الثِّقَالَ بِمَاءٍ يُحْيِيهَا وَقَضَى بِالْفَنَاءِ عَلَى جَمِيعِ سَاكِنِهَا لِيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا وَيَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ بِالْإِحْسَانِ. And he is the one who has stabilized the earth by placing mountains in all of its sides. And he is the one who has sent the heavy clouds with water, yani to rain upon the earth, to give life to the earth. And he is the one who has decreed that all of the inhabitants in the earth will cease to exist, yani nothing will live forever. In order that he might reward or recompense those who do evil, bima amilu, according to what they have done. Yani he will give them that which they deserve, according to what they have done themselves, and he will reward the muhsineen, those who do good, bil ihsan. And he will reward the people who do good with good. Hal jazaa'ul ihsani illa al ihsan? Is there any reward for ihsan, for doing good except good? Any the people who understand that there is no reward for doing good except good, whoever wants good, all you have to do is do good. The matter is simple. Otherwise, the people who do evil will be rewarded according to what they have done. And then the Shaykh says, أحمده على الصفات الكمال الحسان. وأشكره على نعمه السابغة وبالشكر يزيد العطاء والامتنان. That I praise him, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for his beautiful and perfect sifat, his characteristics that are beautiful and they are perfect, complete. And I thank him, I am grateful to him for his yani abundant ni'am, blessings that are abundant, yani there are so many. And بِالشُّكْرِ يَزِيدُ الْعَطَاءُ وَالْإِمْتِنَانُ, that whoever is grateful, whoever is thankful, they will get an increase in what Allah is giving, in what Allah is giving from His bounty and His favor. They will get more. So we praise Allah by His names, as the Shaykh has mentioned some of them. And we praise Allah by His sifat, His characteristics and qualities and descriptions that are beautiful and good and perfect and complete. And we thank Allah for His bounties and His favors, which are ample, which are plenty, which are unending. And by being thankful, then Allah will increase in what He gives. From His bounties and His favors. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ وحده لا شريك له الملك الديان وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله المبعوث إلى الإنس والجان صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين له بإحسان ما توالت الأزمان وسلم تسليما. And he said, and I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners, and He is the King. Yani the King who has control over everything, that everything is in submission to, who rewards His servants according to what they have done. If they have done good, then He multiplies their rewards. And if they have done evil, then He rewards them according to the evil that they have done. And He gives them their just compensation. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is His servant, worshipper, and His messenger, who has been missioned to the human beings and the jinn. صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين لهم بإحسان. And may the salat of Allah and the salam be upon Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and his family and his companions and those who follow them in righteousness and goodness as long as there is time, and as long as Allah wills for the existence of the heavens and the earth. And may he be safe and secure, and peace be upon him, complete and perfect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, the Shaykh, he says, Ikhwani, and this is addressed to the brothers and to the sisters, اعلموا أن السوم من أفضل العبادات وأجل الطاعات جاءت بفضله الآثار ونقلت فيه بين الناس الأخبار. No, that fasting is from the best and most excellent of all types of worship. Yani of all types of worship that a person can think of, from the best of them, the most excellent of them is fasting. وَأَجَلِّ الطَّاعَاتِ, and the most noble and lofty of all types of acts of obedience is fasting. And its excellence has been conveyed to us. بِالْآثَارِ, yani from the narrations that have been passed down, whether from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or from the Sahaba or the Tabi'een, that have been narrated to us. And it has also been conveyed to us, or it has been transmitted amongst the people, the akhbar, yani the information or the news concerning this matter in our deen, yani the excellence of fasting. And the Shaykh begins to mention some of the virtues or excellence of fasting. The first thing, before mentioning the first of them, I want to say that there's no doubt, when we hear what the Shaykh is saying here, it will become clear to us that this is of the best of deeds that a Muslim can do, especially in this month of Ramadan, that is fasting. Whoever is able to fast is fortunate, and they should consider themselves fortunate. And whoever is unable to fast, they should try to make up for it in the way that Allah has legislated, by doing other good deeds, specifically by feeding the poor and needy, fasting people, feeding a fasting person. and giving charity and doing whatever other good they can do to make up for the fast that they are unable to do. But whoever is able to fast, wallahi, the one who is able to fast is fortunate. Somebody tell me, from the virtues of fasting, from the excellence, virtues of fasting is what, for example? What would you say? What are those things that show us the excellence of fasting? Naam. In brief. Something, anything, whatever. Patience, okay. Naam. Naam. Control of your desire. Help you to control your desires. Naam. Expiation of sins. Who is not in need of expiation of sins? Subhanallah. Naam. Increasing iman. Naam. Huh? Muraqaba. Muraqaba, naam. That it makes a person more conscious of Allah. That Allah is watching them. That Allah is seeing them. It makes a person think about Allah. Naam. The reward that is unlimited. The reward for fasting is unlimited. Naam. There are so many virtues. The Shaykh mentioned a few of them. Naam. To weaken desires. This is from the benefits of fasting, inshaAllah. Naam. The Shaykh, he mentions a lot of these things. Not all of them, but it's brief, of course. He didn't talk for a long time. Probably the time of this talk, it is between Maghrib and Isha. But then in Ramadan, it will be after Isha, or after Taraweeh, the Shaykh will talk. Okay? So the time, it will be limited. But from all the things that we mentioned, the first thing that the Shaykh mentioned, nobody mentioned it. What shows the excellence of fasting, the first thing that shows the superiority of fasting over all other deeds, and the excellence of fasting, how great it is, how magnificent it is from the Qur'an. Naam. To achieve taqwa. Okay, naam. It helps you to achieve taqwa. That's tremendous. But even the Shaykh mentioned something else related to that. Naam. Related to the ayah from the Qur'an. Naam. I stop here because I want us to think of the benefit that we already know a lot about fasting. But still, when you listen to the scholars, you will learn something you didn't know before. Naam, akhi.
I was going to say, Surah Ali Imran.
Imran
or Al-Nisa, I'm not sure.
Show our gratitude to Allah. Naam, no doubt. Naam. I don't think anybody would think of what he's saying here.
The actual fasting is the only act that we commit that's not for ourselves.
That's tremendous. It came in the hadith. Even before that, the Shaykh mentioned something else. That's tremendous. That's of the greatest excellence and virtues and superiority of fasting, is that this is something that's special for Allah, even though every act of worship is for Allah. But he said, fasting is for me. That's tremendous if you think about it. We will come to it. But I want to mention the first point the Shaykh mentioned, tremendous, 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 from the ayah of the Qur'an. It's a ni'mah, no doubt. That's true. Allah gave us a chance to fast. And then He helped us to fast. And then He accepted the fast from us. All that, naam, naam. There's so much. This fasting, brother, there's no end to it. We're only talking a little bit about it tonight. Little bit. Very little. The revelation of the Qur'an. Also that. Revelation of the Qur'an is the guidance for mankind. The Qur'an was revealed first in the month of Ramadan. Okay, I'll say what the Shaykh has said here. Listen to this. I mean, it's, mashallah, it's simple. But it shows the benefit that Allah has given to the ulama, that He didn't give to the common people. But if you listen to the scholars, then you will get it too. You will get it too. The Shaykh says, فَمِنْ فَضَائِلَ السَّوْمِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَهُ عَلَى جَمِيعِ الْعُمَمِ وَفَرَضُهُ عَلَيْهِمْ That from the excellence of fasting is that Allah has prescribed it on every single nation and made it obligatory upon them. وَفَرَضُهُ عَلَيْهِمْ Every nation that came in the earth, Allah, He prescribed fasting for them and made it obligatory upon them. There are some things that we are doing as Muslims that the people didn't do before. But fasting is not one of them. Every ummah in the earth that came, every prophet that came to a people, Allah had prescribed for them. He had legislated for them and made obligatory upon them fasting. The Shaykh says, قال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. That, O you who believe, addressing the Muslims, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you. And it has, kutiba alaykum, it has been prescribed, has been legislated, has been made obligatory upon you. Kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. Just as it has been prescribed and made obligatory on those before you. This doesn't mean that the fasting that is legislated in Islam, the same manner of fasting was prescribed on the people before us. But it means that the obligation of fasting, as it has been made obligatory upon us, it was also made obligatory on the people before us. As far as the manner of fasting, no, the manner of fasting that we have is the most perfect form of fasting. Because the Prophet ﷺ came with the highest form of legislation, far above any legislation that came through a Prophet before him. But the obligation of fasting upon us is the same obligation that was on the nations before us. Here, the likeness that's upon us, that's upon them, is likeness in obligation. Not in form, but in form it may have been different. In every nation, maybe there were some differences in the legislation that was given to them for fasting. But the obligation of fasting that's upon us was upon every nation before us. So the Shaykh says, listen to this. He says, وَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ عِبَادَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ لَا غِنَى لِلْقَلْقِ عَنْ التَّعَبُّدِ بِهَا لله وأما يترتب عليها من ثواب ما فرضه الله على جميع العمم. That if it wasn't for the fact that this fasting is an ibadah azima. What kind of ibadah? Azima. Great, magnificent, supreme. And I always say this because I can't remember all the definitions of azim. But look in the dictionary and see how many definitions you will find for azim. Then you know what this word means, azim. It doesn't mean one word, like we say it means great, it means mighty, magnificent, whatever. No, it's more than that. Subhanallah. The Shaykh said, ibadah azima. Walaykum salam. Lawla annahu ibadatun azimatun. If it wasn't for the fact that this is such a tremendous, great, magnificent, lofty, supreme act of worship, he said, لَا غِنَى لِلْخَلْقِ عَنْ التَّعَبُّدُ بِهَا لِلَّهِ وَعَمَّا يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَيْهَا مِنْ ثَوَابٍ. That there's no creation, no human being that is without need of worshipping Allah through this act of fasting. There's no creature that is without need, that is free of need of worshipping Allah by this act of fasting. Meaning that there's nobody who can say, I pray a lot, I don't need to fast. I give a lot of charity, I don't need to fast. I do this, that, or... No, everyone, لا غنى للخلق. There's no creature that is free of need of worshipping Allah by the act of fasting. وَأَمَّا يَتَرَتَّبْ عَلَيْهَا مِنْ ثَوَابٍ. And no one is free of need of the thawab, the reward that comes from this fast. Nobody is free of need of it. I mean, the reward for fasting is so great, there's no one that's without need of it. That I got so much reward already from standing in the nights, every night, all night, for 50 years. I don't need fasting. No. Everyone is in need of this. And Allah, knowing that, He made it obligatory upon us. Because perhaps some people will say, I give a lot of charity, I don't need this. But Allah said, no, it's obligatory on every creature. Because every creature is in need of worshipping Allah through fasting. And every creature is in need of the reward that comes from fasting. If it wasn't for that, the Shaykh said, لَوْلَا هَذَا مَا فَرَضَهُ عَلَى جَمِيعَ الْعُمَمِ. Then He wouldn't have made it obligatory on every single nation that came in the earth. If it wasn't for this fact. This is the first fadl of siyam. That is so important and so necessary, and we are in such great need of it that Allah has made it obligatory in every single nation. Is there any nation He didn't make obligatory upon? It's not possible. Because Allah said, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. The same way it was made obligatory on those before you. Everyone before you. Every nation before you. So this is the first virtue that the Shaykh mentioned. And after this, he mentioned the virtues that are well known to us, that we already know. وَمِنْ فَضَائِلْ السَّوْمِ في رمضان أنه سبب لمغفرة الذنوب وتكفير السيئات. That from the excellent virtues of fasting in Ramadan is that it is a cause or a reason for forgiveness, مغفرة الذنوب, forgiveness of sins, and تكفير السيئات, an expiation of those things that we have done in error. The disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَفِيهَ الصَّحِيْهَيْنِ. It is narrated in the two books of Sahih, Al-Bukhari and Muslim. From Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, مَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. That whoever fasts Ramadan with iman and ihtisab, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. That he would have forgiven for him whatever has preceded of his sins. Yani his past sins or her past sins. Man sama Ramadan, imanan wa ihtisaban. With these two conditions. That whoever fasts the month of Ramadan with iman and ihtisab. And this is clear. That whoever fasts Ramadan without iman or without ihtisab, then this is not the reward for them. Okay, it's not sufficient that you just abstain from eating and drinking in Ramadan. Rather, you have to abstain from eating and drinking with iman and with ihtisab. And in fact, as Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah said in other places, that every act of worship requires iman and ihtisab. Although a person's good deeds might be accepted without ihtisab, but the reward of the act of worship that a person does, believing in Allah, and believing that Allah has legislated something, and believing that this is obligatory upon you, will not be the same as the person who does that act of worship with ihtisab. What is ihtisab? Ihtisab is that a person anticipates, expects, looks forward to the reward that Allah has promised for worshipping Him. That is not enough just to worship Allah. Believing that Allah has legislated this. But rather, you should anticipate, you should expect, you should look forward to the reward that Allah has promised you. Why did Allah tell us the reward that He will give for those who obey Him, who believe in Him and do good deeds? Why did the Prophet ﷺ tell us about the rewards of doing certain acts of worship? Except that a person should have anticipation, expectation, looking forward to that reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they have done it correctly, in accordance with the Sharia, and with correct, yani sincerity, correct intention, with ikhlas, sincerely for Allah alone. Person should expect, should anticipate, and believe with certainty that Allah is going to fulfill His promise, that He promised. If Allah promised, He's going to get it. That's something you can look forward to. You don't have to be in doubt, am I going to get this reward or not? Rather, when Allah makes a promise to give you something of good, He keeps His promise. The wa'ad of Allah is haqq. Naam. And Allah is so great and so merciful and so kind that His threat of punishment, sometimes He doesn't fulfill it. Allah is merciful. He promised you if you obey Him, He will reward you. He keeps His promise. All the time. And He threatens to punish you if you disobey Him, and sometimes He forgives you. He doesn't punish you. And this is the aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The difference between the wa'ad and wa'id, that Allah makes a promise of reward, He keeps it. But if He makes a threat of punishment, He may punish you justly, as you deserve. Or He might forgive you, if He wills. He forgives whoever He wills. Anything less than shirk. That if a person dies on shirk, Allah will not forgive it. He said He will not forgive it. But anything less than that, He might forgive it if he wills. Even the person didn't repent, Allah may forgive it if he wills. Naam. So the Shaykh, he said, whoever, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, whoever fasts in Ramadan with iman and ihtisab, then he would have forgiven for him whatever has preceded of his sins. يعني إيمانا بالله ورضا بفرضية الصوم عليه واحتسابا لثوابه وأجره لم يكن كارها لفرضه ولا شكا في ثوابه وأجره فإن الله يغفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. What is the meaning of whoever fasts the month of Ramadan with iman and ihtisab? He said, having iman in Allah, yani believing in Allah, being a believer, a Muslim, and believing that Allah is the one who has legislated this, believing that Allah is the one who made it obligatory upon you, وَرِضًا بِفَرْضِيَةِ السَّوْمَ عَلَيْهِ, and being pleased with the obligation of fasting that Allah has placed upon him, being pleased with that. Believing in Allah and being pleased. Not being mad. I don't like this fast. I'm just doing it because it's obligatory. Allah, you have lost out. You have lost out. You have to believe that Allah has legislated this for you. And you have to be pleased with what Allah has legislated. Didn't the Prophet ﷺ say, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِي مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ رَسُولًا. Naam? That I am pleased with Allah as my Lord. Well, if you're pleased with Allah as your Lord, you have to be pleased with what He has legislated for you. And what He has decreed for you. What He has made obligatory upon you. What He has forbidden you. And whatever trials He has decreed to befall you that you don't like. You have to be pleased with what Allah has decreed. Because He is the Rabb. And He knows what we are in need of. And He loves us more than we love our own selves. And whatever He has decreed is based upon wisdom. And whatever He has legislated is based upon His wisdom and His perfect knowledge. And His justice and His mercy. His mercy upon the people. Allah's law is a mercy upon the people. So the Shaykh said, Imanan, believing in Allah and being pleased with the obligation of fasting upon you, وَاحْتِسَابًا لِثَوَابِهِ وَأَجْرِهِ, and having anticipation and expectation and hope of the reward and the compensation that Allah has promised for this fast, and not hating or disliking this obligation of the fast, and not doubting the reward and the compensation for this fast, and whoever fasts in this way, then Allah will forgive them whatever has preceded of their sins. Believing in Allah, being pleased with what Allah has made obligatory upon us, and not disliking, not hating that Allah has made this obligatory upon us, nor having doubt about the reward, rather feeling certain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep His promise of granting this tremendous reward that one of the brothers mentioned of forgiveness of sins for the person who fasts the month of Ramadan with iman and ihtisab. Huh? But with iman and ihtisab. So let us look at ourselves and examine our situation and make sure that we are fasting with iman in Allah, believing in Allah, believing that Allah has legislated this, and being pleased with what He has legislated, and being pleased with the fact that He made this obligatory upon us. Because there's no doubt that many of us, excluding no one, many of us could easily be amongst those who, if it was not made obligatory, we would never be fasting. And the proof of it is, some of us, if it's not Ramadan, we don't fast the whole year. That's a fact. If it had not been made obligatory, some people would never fast. So we should be happy, we should be thankful that Allah made it obligatory upon us. Because had He not made it obligatory, we wouldn't be fasting. And we wouldn't be getting this tremendous reward. Wallahu musta'an. And also in the Sahih of Muslim from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As-salawatu al-khamsu wal-jumu'atu ila al-jumu'ati wa ramadhanu ila ramadhana mukaffiratun ma baynahunna idha ijtunibat al-kabair. That the five prayers, the performance of the five daily prayers, and the performance of one Jumu'ah until the next Jumu'ah, and one Ramadan until the next Ramadan, is mukaffirat, is expiation of whatever is between them. Yani in between the one Ramadan and the next, or in between one Jumu'ah and the next, or in between one Salat of the five Salat and the next. Either tunibat al-kabair. Yani with the condition that you avoid the major sins. Yani from one prayer, from one obligatory prayer to the next, is an expiation. That you perform the Dhuha prayer and then the Asr prayer is expiation of the sins in between them. If you avoid the major sins. If you avoid the major sins. But if you don't avoid the major sins, that doesn't apply to you. Huh? وَمِنْ فَضَائِلَ السَّوْمِ أَنَّ ثَوَابَهُ لَا يَتَقَيَّدُ بِعَدَدٍ مُعَيِّنٍ بَلْ يُعْطَى الصَّائِمُ أَجْرَهُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Yani also from the excellence and virtue and superiority of the fast is that its reward is not limited to a specific number. Yani that you will get 10 rewards for this deed, or you will get 700, or you will get whatever. The reward of fasting is not limited to a certain number. لا يتقيد بعدد معين بل يعطى الصائم. But rather the fasting person will be given his reward بغير حساب, without accounting. Yani the reward, Allah won't calculate it. So this person has done this, I will give him 10, 700, 1,000, 1 million. No, Allah is not going to count, He just gives, without accounting. And Allah is, yani, generous. Allah is rich. It's easy for Him to give like that. فَفِي صَحِيْهَيْنِ. In the two books of Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim from Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه, قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الله تعالى. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that Allah the Most High said, Allah, this is the speech of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, كل عمل ابن آدم له إلا السوم فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. That every amal, every action, every deed of the human being is for him. إِلَّا السَّوْمِ, except fasting. فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. And the brother, one of the brothers mentioned this. Because fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, fasting is for me. So I will compensate it. I will reward it. Allah will give the reward Himself for this. And we say here, I'm saying myself, not from what the Shaykh said, because this is what the Shaykh said in other places and other scholars have said, that every act of worship has to be done for Allah alone. Otherwise it's not accepted. That's from the conditions of a deed to be accepted. That has to be done sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. But Allah is singling out fasting special, different from the rest of the every act of worship, that it has to be done out for Him also. But Allah says, Sawm, Siyam is special. So He made this distinct from the rest of the acts of worship. He said, فَإِنَّهُ لِي. Why is it that the reward for fasting is not going to be calculated by a number? It's because fasting is special. It's for Allah specially. So He will reward it specially. And He's the one that rewards every good deed. And in another narration, the wording is a little bit different. But before that, the Prophet ﷺ went on to say, وَالصِّيَامُ جُنَّةٌ. And siyam, it is a shield, a protection, huh, that you shield yourself with. وَالصِّيَامُ جُنَّةٌ. فَإِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ سَوْمِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلَا يَرْفُثْ وَلَا يَصْخَبْ فَإِنْ سَابَهُ أَحَدٌ أَوْ قَاتَلَهُ فَلْيَقُلْ إِنِّي صَائِمٌ. And in some of the narrations he said, In Nisa'im. That fasting is a shield, a protection. So if one of you has a day of fasting, إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ سَوْمِ أَحَدِكُمْ, If one of you is fasting on any particular day, and somebody insults him, سابه, abuses him verbally, أو قاتله, or fights with him, or wants to fight with him, then he should say, إني صائم. And in other narrative he said, say it twice, إني صائم, إني صائم. Huh? Just say, I'm fasting. I'm fasting. And some of the narrations of the Prophet ﷺ have said to repeat it twice. And some of the scholars said, from the wisdom of that, is that one time he's saying, إني صائم, to remind himself that I can't act like this guy. And the second time he's saying it to him, perhaps he's also صائم. He's reminding him that he might also be fasting. Because sometimes the Muslim is the one who's arguing with you, threatening you. First night of fasting, brother is telling another brother what he's going to do to him inside the masjid. Have to be escorted out. Huh? Allahu musta'an. So if it is the day of fasting of one of you, فَلَا يَرْفُثْ, then don't use obscene language or act in a way that's obscene. وَلَا يَصْخَبْ, and don't shout and scream. Yani yelling and shouting and screaming. And if someone abuses you, insults you, or wants to fight you, or tries to fight you, then you must say, verily I am fasting. Naam. That you should say it to, Naam, he said, say it. If somebody says that, tries to start something with you, abuse you, of course, first, akhi, you are reminding yourself, first and foremost, that you are fasting. That's a reminder to you not to participate in this. Somebody starts using abusive speech to you, the first inclination of most of the people in this society, inshallah, is not in the Muslim society, I hope. Inshallah, not like in this society, that's a fact. The Muslim society is better than this. Naam. The Muslims are better than this. That's a fact. But some Muslims act like these people. But in this society, the first inclination, somebody abuse you, abuse them back. Somebody say anything to you, try to say something worse back to them. They call you a name, you say your mother. What is this? Not a Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ said, say I'm fasting to yourself. I can't act like this. I'm fasting. Fasting person doesn't act like this. And perhaps also you're telling the person, I'm fasting, as the Shaykh explained and explained in this hadith. And I'll let him explain it, what he said about it. Of course, when you're fasting. But of course, you should never engage in this kind of behavior, this kind of speech, whether you're fasting or not. But the character and the manners and the behavior of the Muslim who's fasting is on a higher level. And it's more expected that you will be at your best behavior when you're fasting than ordinarily. All of these things should never be done whether you're fasting or not. But when you're fasting, more so. You are expected more so when you're fasting not to engage in backbiting and slandering and foul language and other things. But you shouldn't do that even if you're not fasting. You're never supposed to do that. But especially when you're fasting. Because the purpose of fasting is to help you to abstain from those things. So what's the benefit of fasting if you're going to still act like the people who don't have any sense? Because Allah said in the Quran, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ السِّيَامِ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you will attain taqwa. And taqwa means to fulfill the obligatory duties and to abstain from the prohibited things. So if you are fasting to abstain from the haram, why? How can you engage in the haram while you are fasting? What is the purpose? What's the benefit of fasting then? There's no benefit of the fasting. And that's why in another hadith the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever doesn't abandon az-zu, qawl az-zu, Allah has no hajj, la hajj lillahi. Allah has no need for you to abandon your food and drink. Because the whole purpose of abandoning food and drink is for you to correct your behavior and to be more obedient to Allah and to comply with the commands of Allah. So if a person is fasting and he's not doing that, or she's not doing that, then really there's no benefit in fasting. Just abstaining from eating and drinking is just torture in that case. And Allah doesn't intend to torture us. He didn't prescribe fasting as a means of torture. He prescribed fasting as a means of attaining taqwa, obedience to Allah, good behavior, that a person act the way a Muslim is supposed to act. So the Shaykh, he says, going on with the hadith, وَالصِّيَامُ جُنَّةٌ, and fasting is a shield, a protection. So if one of you is fasting, then he should not engage in obscenities, should not shout and scream, And if somebody insults or abuses him or fights with him, then he should say, I'm fasting. وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ لَخَلُوفُ فَمِ الصَّائِمْ أَتْيَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ رِيحَ الْمِسْكِ وَلِلصَّائِمِ فَرْحَتَانْ يَفْرَحُهُمَا إِذَا أَفْتَرَ فَرِحَ بِفِطْرِهِ وَإِذَا لَقِيَ رَبَّهُ فَرِحَ بِسَوْمِهِ. And this is the end of the hadith. According to this narration of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, I swear by the one in whose soul is Muhammad, by the one in whose hand is the life of Muhammad. I swear by the one in whose hand is the life of Muhammad. The breath of the fasting person is sweeter and more pleasant to Allah than the fragrance of misk, of sweet smelling perfumes. The breath of the fasting person is more pleasant to Allah, even if it is disgusting to the people. And some people may say to you, your breath, get away from me. Yeah, but not Allah. Allah finds it pleasant. The breath that comes from the act of obedience, of worshipping Him, of fasting, of abstaining from eating and drinking, is more pleasant to Allah than the sweet fragrance of sweet-smelling scent. And the fasting person has two occasions of happiness. When he breaks his fast, he is happy with the breaking of the fast. And when he meets his Lord, he is happy, yani with his fast, yani with the reward of his fast. The Shaykh says, and this is the extent, yani this, the discussion of this hadith is basically the extent of our discussion tonight. The Shaykh says that this hadith has also been narrated in Sahih Muslim with slightly different wording. In the narration of Imam Muslim, it is reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, كُلُّ عَمَلِ يَبْنِ آدَمْ لَهُ يضاعف الحسنة بعشر أمثالها إلى سبعمائة ضعف. قال الله تعالى إلا الصوم فإنه لي وأنا أجزي به يدع شهوته وطعامه من أجلي. That every action or every deed of the human being will be multiplied at the rate of one hasana will be like 10 like it. Yani one good deed will get the reward of 10 like it. As though you have 10 like that. إِلَى سَبْعِمِيَةِ دِعْفٍ up to 700 times like it. Yani a person will fast for one day and get the reward for fasting 700 days. Except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, except fasting. Fasting is not limited to that. That's for other deeds. You may get 10 or 100 or 700. But with fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that it is exclusively for me and I will reward it because he has given up. He has put aside his shahwa, his desires, and his ta'am, his food, min ajli, for my sake. Therefore Allah will reward it directly, personally. وهذا الحديث الجليل يدل على فضيلة الصوم من وجوه عديدة. This noble hadith indicates the excellence of fasting from a number of perspectives. الوجه الأول, the first one is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared fasting to be exclusively for His own self. Two, the distinction of all other acts of worship. Allah has declared fasting to be exclusively for Him, for Himself. And this is because of the sharaf, yani the great station of honor of fasting. And because of Allah's love for fasting. And because of ظهور الإخلاص له سبحانه فيه. And because sincerity, al-ikhlas, is apparent, is made crystal clear in the fasting. The ikhlas for Allah alone. as opposed to other deeds, which are more likely not to be done purely for the sake of Allah alone. But as for in fasting, it's exclusive, it's crystal clear that the person who is fasting for Allah alone. Why do we say this? Because fasting is a sirr, a secret, بين العبد وربه. It is a secret between the worshipper and his Lord. No one knows about it except Allah. Who's really fasting? No one knows except Allah. Because all of us, inshallah, we are fasting. But Allah only knows in reality who has been alone during this day, eating or drinking, or engaging in whatever has been forbidden, in secret. And nobody else knows about it except Allah. So the real faster is only known to Allah. All of us here claim to be fasting, but Allah only knows the reality. Allah alone knows the reality. And for this reason, as-sa'im, the Shaykh says, might be in a place where there are no people. And that fasting person is able to consume or to engage in that which Allah has prohibited by the fast. But he doesn't do it. لِأَنَّهُ يَعْلَمْ أَنَّ لَهُ رَبًّا يَطَّلِعَ عَلَيْهِ فِي خُلْوَتِهِ وَقَدْ حَرَّمَ عَلَيْهِ ذَلِكَ فَيَتْرُقُهُ لِلَّهِ خَلْفًا مِنْ عِقَابِهِ وَرَغْبَةً فِي ثَوَابِهِ فمن أجل ذلك شكر الله له هذا الإخلاص واختص صيامه لنفسه من بين سائر أعماله وقال ولهذا قال الله تعالى يدعو شهوته وطعامه من أجلي. The Shaykh, he says that perhaps a person may be in a place where there are no people and they might engage in that which or consume that which has been forbidden by the fast. But they do not do so because that person knows that he or she has a Rabb who is seeing them while they are in that private situation, in seclusion, where there is no one else, but Allah is seeing them. The one who knows that he has a Rabb who is seeing him, who is hearing him, who knows what he is thinking, even in seclusion, and knows that Allah has forbidden that they do this thing, then they leave it out of fear of Allah's punishment and out of hope for His reward. It is for this reason that Allah appreciates that person's ikhlas. Because that's nothing but ikhlas. That you are doing something that you are only doing it for the sake of Allah. Because nobody else really knows. In seclusion you can do whatever you want to do. Unless you fear Allah. And you have hope of Allah's reward. So Allah, shakar Allah lahu hadha al-ikhlas. Allah appreciates this sincerity. And therefore He has declared the fasting to be exclusively for Himself, to the exclusion of the rest of the deeds. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He has given up, He has left aside, He has abandoned His desires and His food for My sake alone. And then the Shaykh says that the benefit of this, yani this Allah's declaring the fasting to be exclusively for Him alone, will become clear on Yawm Qiyamah. Yani the fa'idah of this ikhtisas of siyam for Allah alone, it will become clear on Yawm Qiyamah. As it was said by Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah. And Sufyan ibn Uyayna is one of the two great scholars with this same name, Sufyan ibn Uyayna and Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, two of the great scholars of the Sunnah, two great scholars of Hadith, who were imams of the people of Sunnah in their time. And Sufyan ibn Uyayna, the latter of the two of them, rahimahullah, he said that on the day of Qiyamah, يُحَاسِبُ اللَّهُ عَبْدَهُ وَيُؤَدِّي مَا عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْمَظَالِمِ مِنْ سَائِرِ عَمَلِهِ. That on the day of Qiyamah, yani on the day of resurrection, on the day of accounting, Allah will take account of His servants. And He will cause every person who has done a wrong to somebody, whether you took their property, or you slandered them, or you hit them, or you killed someone, or shed blood, or whatever it was, Every one of the mazalim that is in a person's account against a person, Allah will make them take account of that. Meaning they will have to give that person. They will have to make up for it. They will have to compensate that person for the wrong that they have done them. How they will compensate? With their hasanat. That person will be given some of their hasanat in accordance with the wrong that has been done to them. And in the hadith concerning this matter, if they ran out of hasanat, then Allah would take some of the wronged person who has been wronged, take some of their sayyiat and dump it on the person who has wronged them to compensate for the wrong that has been done to them. Here, Sufyan ibn Uyayna said that Allah would fulfill every person's right for the wrong that has been done to them from that person's good deeds. Hatta إِذَا لَمْ يَبْقَى إِلَّا السَّوْمِ يَتَحَمَّلُ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الْمَظَالِمِ وَيُدْخِلُهُ الْجَنَّةَ بِالسَّوْمِ. Until if the person, in trying to compensate the people that they have wronged for the wrongs that they have done to them, come to the point where they have no more good deeds, except sawm. And sawm is for Allah alone. Then Allah will take the responsibility of giving that person what is due to them. And he will hold on to the sawm. And into the believer, into the paradise based on the sawm. Subhanallah. He said that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when Allah would take account of the people, every person who has been wronged has to be compensated for the wrong that has been done to them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would take from a person's good deeds and give it to the person that you have wronged to make up for the wrong that you have done to them in the dunya. Until a person will come to a point where he has no more good deeds to give except fasting. That was the only thing left. Then Allah, يَتَحَمَّلُ اللَّهُ, Allah will take responsibility for the wrong that you have done to that person instead of giving them your sawm that Allah has made exclusively for Himself. He will keep the sawm. And he will make up to them for the wrong that you have done to them. And then he will enter you into paradise, bi-idhnihi ta'ala, based on the sawm that you have done exclusively for him alone. But of course, this means that this is the sawm that has been done sincerely for Allah alone. And we have to ask ourselves when we are fasting, has our ibadah, our worship, been polluted in our niyyah, in our intention, has it been polluted? Has the sincerity been corrupted by us doing the fast for something or someone other than Allah? Because it has to be for Allah alone. We have to be careful that we don't allow anything to come into our heart with this sawm that we are doing, that we want to be seen by the people or praised by the people or acknowledged by the people or given credit by the people or get anything in exchange for this fast from human beings. Because the fast is for Allah alone. It has to be done purely for Allah alone. And this is not an easy task. To abstain from eating and drinking, an animal can do that. But to do it for Allah alone, this is a high level. And we have to ask Allah for success with this. Alaykum as-salam. The Shaykh said, the second aspect of the superiority and the excellence and the virtue of fasting is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning fasting, wa ana ajzi bi, that I will reward it myself. So Allah, He has attributed the reward for the fast to His noble self. Because the righteous deeds, the reward for righteous deeds will be multiplied by a certain number. A hasana, good deed, will be multiplied with 10 like it, up to 700 times, ila adhaafin kathira, to even more than that. As is mentioned in one hadith, ila ma sha Allah, as much as Allah wills. Yani, the reward for good deeds, for al-amal, al-salihah, will be multiplied by a certain number. As far as fasting, then Allah, He has ascribed, attributed the reward for it to Himself without any consideration of a number. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Akramul Akrameen wa Ajwadu al Ajwadeen. Yani, He is the most generous of those who are generous. And the best in giving of those who give. Wal Atiyatu bi Qadri Mu'atiha. And whatever has been given, it will be in accordance with the one who is giving it. So if a poor man gives you, he gives according to his poverty. And if a rich man gives you, he gives you according to his affluence. But if Allah is giving, then Allah is Al-Ghani. He is the one who owns everything in the heavens and the earth. So Allah is the one who is giving the reward for fasting. So the reward for the fasting person will be tremendous without accounting. And this, perhaps, from the wisdom of this reward for fasting being without accounting, is because as-sawm sabrun ala ta'atillah, wa sabrun ala maharimillah, wa sabrun ala aqdarillahi al-mu'lima min al-ju'i wal-atashi wa da'af al-badan wal-nafs, faqad ijtama'at fihi anwa' al-sabr thalatha, wa tahaqqaqa أن يكون الصائم من الصابرين. Perhaps the reason for this, and Allah knows best, the Shaykh is saying that as-sawm or siyam is a form of patience with obedience to Allah. Person has to be what? Patient in obedience to Allah. That's a form of patience. To do something that Allah has commanded. That might be difficult for you. And it is a form of patience on avoiding what Allah has prohibited. That also requires patience, that a person restrain themselves. Habs al-nafs is sabr. It is to restrain yourself from that which Allah has prohibited. And it is also the third form of patience, and that is being patient, restraining yourself from thinking or saying or feeling something evil about Allah who has decreed an affliction or a calamity to befall you. Allah has decreed it. And sometimes we begin to second guess that Allah, wa'udhu billah, he hasn't decreed something. He doesn't know what He's decreeing. This is not right. This is not good. They say, why me? Why my child? Why this? Who? What? Allah has decreed this. The believer says, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. Allah has decreed it. And He does whatever He wills. And the believer is decreed what Allah has, is pleased with what Allah has decreed for him. So this is also a form of sabr, that a person be patient with what Allah has decreed from those things that we don't like, that hurt us, that we are not pleased with. And in this case, in fasting, it means being patient with hunger, and being patient with thirst, and being patient with the weakness of the body and the nafs, being weak. And here the Shaykh says, so the three types of patience, patience with obedience to Allah, patience with avoiding what Allah has prohibited, and patience with what Allah has decreed from the things, from the decrees that we don't like. All the three types of sabr have been combined in fasting. وَتَحَقَّقَ أَن يَكُونَ الصَّائِمُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. And therefore, the fasting person has realized, I mean, they have reached the reality, they have really achieved the status of being from amongst those who are called the sabirin, those who are patient. By fasting, a person achieves the reality of being amongst the sabirin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Zumr, Surah 39, Ayah 10, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. That indeed, the sabiruna, and only the sabiruna, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّرُ الصَّابِرُونَ, these are the people who will be given their reward بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, without accounting. Yani, unlimited reward. So this is from the virtues of fasting. 39:10. Surah 39, Az-Zumr, 10th ayah. So from the excellent and virtues of fasting is that the reward for the fasting person is that it is unlimited. Allah rewards it personally. Well, wajh thalith and as-sawm junnah. And the third aspect of the excellence of fasting is that fasting is a shield It is a waqaya, yani something that's used to protect you, or sitr, a screen that separates you from something. It protects the fasting person from idle speech and from obscenities, obscene language or obscene behavior. Yani fasting protects a person from these things, especially if a person is conscious of their fasting, it protects them from idle speech, useless speech. You know the speech that we engage in after we broke the fast, and we just, as the brother Shamsuddin used to say, kicking the woolly bobo? I don't know what era that came from. We didn't say that when I was growing up. But that's what he used to say. So I guess that was a generation after me. You know? That's what we do. We sit in the masjid, and we just got finished fasting, and we're talking about foolishness. Wallahi, in the masjid. In the masjid. And we are in fasting. This is Ramadan. When a person is to be conscious of Allah, because fasting achieves what? Helps the person achieve taqwa. Consciousness of Allah. Fear of Allah. Person should be engaged in that which is good, that which is beneficial. Reminding one another about fearing Allah, something in the Qur'an, or something from the sunnah, or dhikr, or dua, or recitation of the Qur'an. Not talking about who won the NBA championship, or how many free throws this one shot, or what was his percentage, or who kicked the football, or the soccer, or whatever. Other foolishness. This is not the time for that. This is not the time for that. Fasting is a shield to protect you from that. If you have been fasting with the consciousness of Allah. Fasting is a shield from the laghwi and rafath. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ سَوْمِ أَحْدِكُمْ فَلَا يَرْفُثْ وَلَا يَصْخَبْ. That if one of you is fasting on any particular day, don't engage in obscenities or shouting or screaming. And it also is a shield to protect you from the hellfire. Because fasting prevents you from doing evil. And that's a protection from the punishment of Allah in the next life. And for this reason is narrated by Imam Ahmed with isnad that's Hassan. From Jabir radiallahu anhu. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, As-siyamu junnatun yastajinnu biha al-abdu minan nar. That fasting is a shield, a protection that the person uses to protect them from the hellfire. وَالْوَجَ الرَّابِيَ. And the fourth aspect of the excellence and the superiority and the virtue of fasting is that the breath of the fasting person is more pleasant with Allah than the scent of sweet-smelling fragrance, misk. Huh? The oils that we sell. And that is because that smell, that odor that is offensive to the people is the effect of the act of fasting, of obedience to Allah by fasting. For that reason, it's tayyibah. It's beautiful, it's good in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's mahbubatan lahu, it's loved by Allah, that scent. And this is a proof that of the greatness of the affair of fasting in front of Allah, to the extent that the thing which is makruh, which is disliked, it's mustakhbath, it's disgusting to the people. It's mahbub, it's beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and tayyib, it's good in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's because it comes from an act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fifth aspect, أَنَّ لِلصَّائِمْ فَرْحَتَانِ. That the fasting person will have two occasions of farh, of happiness, of joy. Two joyous occasions, not one, but two. Farhatan in the fatrihi. He will have a joy, or she will have a joy or happiness on the occasion of breaking the fast, every day that they fast. Wa farhatan in the liqai rabbihi. And a joy, occasion of joy and happiness at the time when they will meet their Lord. On yawm al-qiyamah. And that is the greater joy, no doubt. Amma farhuhu. And the fitrihi, as far as the happiness or the joy on the occasion of breaking the fast, it is the joy of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed that person with in enabling them to fulfill this great act of worship of fasting. which is from the most excellent of all good deeds. Yani, what is the joy at the time of breaking the fast? Yani, when it's time to break the fast, our greatest joy should be what? That Subhanallah, who has enabled us to complete this day of fasting, to complete this great act of worship, that we would never be able to do if not for the favor of Allah upon us. Naam. How many of the people have been prevented from fasting? They are not able to fast, so they didn't fast. So, whoever has been enabled to fast, then they should be happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enabled them to complete this act of worship. And likewise, there is a joy in the fact that Allah has now allowed, made it permissible for the person to eat and drink, and to have marital relations with their spouse. All of those things that were prohibited while they were in a state of fasting. There's also a joy from eating and drinking. Now, that is also a happy occasion. But the greater happiness is in the completion of this act of worship, that if it is accepted by Allah, it has a tremendous reward. As far as the happiness at the time of meeting one's Lord, it is the happiness and the joy of the fast itself at the time when the person will find the reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, muwaffaran kamilan, complete, full, with no shortcoming in it. Full reward. Naam. And this is at a time, fi waqtin huwa ahwaju ma yakunu ilayhi. Yani, it will be at a time that a person, there's no time that a person will be in greater need than on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and the time of judgment and accounting. At that time, when the person is in greatest need, they will be happy and they will be joyed when they find the reward for their fasting. And it will be said, أَيْنَ الصَّائِمُونَ لِيَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مِنْ بَابِ الرَّيَانِ الَّذِي لَا يَدْخُلُهُ أَحَدٌ غَيْرُهُمْ. Yani, where are the fasting people so that they may enter Jannah through the door of Rayyan, which is a door that no one will enter except the fasting people. وَفِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. As we come to the end of this hadith, the Shaykh, he said, rahimahullah, وَفِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ إِرْشَادٌ لِلصَّائِمِ. And in this hadith, there's also a irshad, yani a guidance. Yani, the Prophet ﷺ has given some guidance to the fasting person. If they are insulted by someone, or someone tries to fight them, that they should not meet them with the like of what they find from the other people. Yani, return like with like. And this is so that the abuse and the fighting will not be increased. Somebody abuse you, insult them back. Meaning you adding, as they used to say in the old days, adding insult to injury. Don't increase it. And also don't be weak in front of the person who is abusing you or who wants to fight you by just remaining silent. But the Prophet ﷺ said, but let them know that you are fasting. Let them know that you are fasting. And this is an indication that you are not returning them. You are not responding to them in like. Out of ihtiram, out of respect for the fast. Alaykum salam. Not because you are incapable of responding. Like, don't think I can't knock you out. But it's because of respect for this fast that I'm not responding to you with this. It's in respect of the fast that a person who's fasting has a certain character and demeanor in front of Allah. That's why you're not responding. Not that you're not capable of responding. That you don't know the same kind of words that they are using. But the fasting person is conscious of their Lord, so they don't use that kind of language. They're not abusive and insulting and ignorant like the other people. He said, not because you're incapable of taking revenge. And in this way, the abuse and the fighting can be stopped. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Fussilat, 41, ayah 34 and 35. Idfa billati hiya ahsan. فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم. And repulse, يعني evil, with that which is أحسن. يعني don't repulse evil with evil, but repulse evil with بالتي هي أحسن. Not even بالحسن, rather بالأحسن. Repulse evil with not that which is just good, but with the best. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنُهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنُّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. And in that way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you repulse evil with that which is best, then it will be that the person between whom he and you, there's adawa, enmity, or hatred, or ill feelings, كَأَنُّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. It is as though, it will be as though that person is your close, near, loved one who cares about you. If you do what? Instead of returning evil with evil, that you repulse evil with good. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. And no one will be able to do this, yani repulse evil with good. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا, except those who have sabr. Huh? This back to the sabr again. No one will be able to do this. Somebody cussing at you, you tell them, may Allah help you and make your affairs easy for you. May Allah bless you with good. Huh? No one will be able to do this. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا, except those who are patient. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا, and no one will accept this advice to do so, إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ, except those who have been given a tremendous, يعني portion, of the reward in the next life and the good character in this world. And the Shaykh closes by saying, من فضائل السوم أنه يشفع لصاحبه يوم القيامة. That from the excellence of fasting is that it will intercede for the one who fasts on the day of Qiyamah. And it's narrated from Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qaal, As-siyam wal-Qur'anu yashfa'an lil-abdi yawm al-qiyamati. Yaqulu as-siyamu ayyu rabbi mana'atuhu at-ta'am wa shahwa fashaffi'ni fihi. Wa yaqulu al-Qur'an mana'atuhu an-nawm bil-layli فَشَفِّعْنِي فِيهِ قَالَ فَيَشْفَعَانِي رَوَاهُ أَحْمِدٍ. يعني the Prophet ﷺ said that as-siyam, fasting, and the Qur'an will intercede for the worshipper, al-abd, on the day of Qiyamah. And the fasting will say, oh my Lord, I have prevented him from food and from desires, so allow me to intercede for him. And the Qur'an will say, I have prevented him from sleeping in the nights. Person up in the night praying, reciting Qur'an. So allow me to intercede for him. And he will say, and he said, yani he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fayashfa'an. So both the siyam and the Qur'an will intercede for him. And the Shaykh closes by saying, Ikhwani, and I say akhawati, yani brothers, my brothers and sisters, fadail as-sawm la tudrak hatta yakumu as-sa'im bi-adabihi. Huh? Fadail as-sawm la tudraku hatta yakumu as-sa'im bi-adabihi. That these virtues and excellence and rewards of fasting will not be attained, will never be achieved unless and until the fasting person fulfills the adab of fasting. It's not just abstaining from eating and drinking. Rather, all that goes with it, the reward and the excellence and the virtue of fasting is for the one who observes the adab of fasting, the ahkam of fasting, the akhlaq of the fasting person. All of that. In order to achieve this excellence. So the Shaykh, he says, فَاجْتَهِدُوا فِي إِتْقَانِ سِيَامِكُمْ وحفظ حدوده. So strive to perfect your fasting and to guard the boundaries of the fast. Yani the limitations, the restrictions of the fast. Strive to perfect your fast. Don't take the matter lightly. All of these things can be achieved if the person strives, makes ijtihad in the perfection of the fast. Don't be satisfied that you have abstained from eating and drinking from dawn until sunset. That's not itqan as-siyam. Rather, don't be satisfied until you control your eyes, what you look at, and your ears, what you listen to, and your tongue, what you are saying, and your heart, what you are thinking and feeling. And repent. وَتُوبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ مِنْ تَقْصِيرِكُمْ فِي ذَٰلِكَ. And after striving to achieve the perfection of the fast and protecting the boundaries of the fast, then repent to Allah for your shortcomings in doing so, wherever you have fallen short. Allahumma ihfaz siyamana waj'alhu shafian lana waghfir lana wa liwalidayna wa li jami'il muslimin wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.